Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to be here today. If you wouldn't mind turning in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. So thanks very much for the welcome here today. It's good to be with you, and I trust it's going to be a help to carry the line that Kevin is where I'm usually. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, thanks very much, Christy. Thank you very much. Oh my goodness me! All the service of the day. This is a nice place to be. Thanks, Christy. Well, we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, just the first 10 verses. So if you follow along with me, that'll be helpful. Starting at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Well, let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can indeed come together and celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, the God-man, into this world. And we pray that we would learn more about that coming and what it means that Jesus has come for people like us. We pray that we would experience the rich, deep and loving welcome of Jesus. So help us today by your Spirit. Teach us and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome. Come in. Sit down. Eat. Enjoy. There are few things more satisfying than being invited into somebody's house and have them set before you a succulent Christmas dinner. But it's not just the food we love to enjoy, because being invited into someone's home for Christmas dinner is something special, isn't it? It communicates acceptance, friendship, belonging. You are welcome. Now in the story that we have just read, the true story, Zacchaeus receives a wonderful welcome. But more than that, what we're going to discover is that in this story, we too have received a great welcome. A welcome to a great feast. A feast that surpasses anything that you will enjoy this Christmas. It's a feast that you could never imagine beyond your wildest dreams. Well, let's see how this is true. We're going to see three things from our text this morning. Jesus welcomes the lost. That's the first one. The second one, the lost welcome Jesus. And then third, welcome to the feast. So first, Jesus welcomes the lost. I think this is on the screen, is it? Yeah. No, never worries. I'll call it out. So first, Jesus welcomes the lost. Three things we want to see here. First, the lost. Let's look and see who are the lost. Look at verse 2. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, it might be written in your Bibles, but Zacchaeus means righteous one. But he actually lived nothing like it. Despicable one would be a better title for this guy, Zacchaeus. Have a look at the rest of verse 2. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now, when you hear tax collector, think in your minds, scumbag. Tax collectors weren't like the Inland Revenue of today who do everything by the book. The job of the tax collector then was to collect tax from anybody who was coming into the city to do trade. You set up your stall, and everybody coming in through the main road would have to pay a tax. And as chief tax collector, he would oversee the whole region. It sounds a very worthy and good job. However, tax collectors worked for the occupying Roman authorities. So he was in effect employed by the people's enemy. But worse than that was how the tax collector made their money. They charged people more and they would keep a large percentage for themselves. And if anybody disagreed with you and you started quibbling, well, Zacchaeus would just go and tell the Roman authorities, and you don't want to mess with them. So that was Zacchaeus. He may have been the righteous one, but despicable one was a better title for him. And he was hated by the people. He was a very wealthy man. He had robbed the people. But for all his wealth, his position and his power, Zacchaeus is not content. We could say he's lost. Money he has, but he's not satisfied. Power he has, but he's not fulfilled. Look at the rest of verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. It's not about what Jesus looks like, but he's interested to know what could Jesus do for him. For Zacchaeus, his life is empty. He has money, but he's desperate for something that he cannot buy with that money. Let's read verse 3 again. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short or because he was small, he couldn't see over the crowd. Zacchaeus was used to looking down on people, but from his position that he really is, he's a small guy. It reflects what he's like on the inside. He's small inside, isn't he? He's a nothing. He has nothing. Nobody loves him. Nobody wants him. He's lost. Zacchaeus is the lost man. But let's look at the welcome that this lost man receives in verse 4. Zacchaeus ran ahead of Jesus and climbed up into a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, we've probably heard this story before, and we often think of it, right? He's a small guy. He runs ahead and thinks, if I'm going to get Jesus' attention, I've got to be above everybody else. I've got to make myself visible to Jesus. But no, he climbs up into a sycamore fig tree, which is a tree that's full of leaves. He wants to hide himself. Remember, he's a tax collector hated by the people. Nobody wants anything to do with Zacchaeus. He's hiding himself in the tree. He can see Jesus coming, and he thinks Jesus can't see him. But, verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, Jesus stops and he looks up to where Zacchaeus is and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. What a welcome he has received. Come down, Zacchaeus. I must stay at your house. Well, normally it's the other way around, isn't it? It's a bit rude, isn't it, if you say, I'm coming to your, if I said to you today, I'm coming to your house for dinner. But you don't invite yourself to people's houses. But here, Jesus does welcome himself to Zacchaeus' house. You see, it's not Zacchaeus who's seeking out Jesus. It's Jesus who is seeking out Zacchaeus. How do we know? Well, look at what it says in verse 10. For the Son of Man, this is speaking of Jesus himself, he says he came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus has come, or Jesus has come, to welcome Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus is lost. He's received a welcome. And he receives the welcome because of God's amazing grace towards him. Look at verse 7. All the people who had been following Jesus saw this and began to mutter, complaining, giving off to one another. Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. You can't welcome people like that. This isn't how it's meant to be. He's a cheating thief. He's a scumbag. Rather than be welcomed, he needs to be condemned. Rather than show him grace, he needs to be shut out. Now, this isn't the first time that people have been objecting to Jesus' welcome. You have your Bible there. Just go back a couple of pages to chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 1. We see the kind of people Jesus liked to hang around with. Now the tax collectors, people like Zacchaeus, thieves and traitors, and the sinners, all the others that people considered outsiders, were all gathering around to hear Jesus. Isn't it interesting that they were the ones that were attracted to Jesus? But the Pharisees, the moral do-gooders, and the teachers of the law, the ones who liked to keep everybody right about what was good and best, muttered, this man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them. You see, to sit down and eat with people was a sign of acceptance. You see, this shouldn't happen. And what Jesus goes on to do in chapter 15 is he tells three stories all about three lost things: the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And he explains through these stories that Jesus has come. I've come to save the lost. People like Zacchaeus, people like you and me. You see, we all long to be welcomed, don't we? We all want to be those who are on the inside, who are accepted and valued. And most of all, we think that to be accepted, it's all about being good and about being right and being the right kind of person, that if I'm morally pure, if I come from a certain class, if I'm popular, well, they're the kind of people who get welcomed. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus reverses how we operate. He turns the tables on how we think. You see, it's those we expect to be included are actually excluded. And the ones who are outside, well, they're the ones who are included and brought in. You see, Jesus has come to invite sinners, the morally broken, those who don't fit in, those who people leave outside, the one we turn our nose up at and won't welcome. Jesus has come to seek and save the lost. You see, the point is that if we don't see ourselves as lost, as long as we see ourselves as better than everybody else, we will never ever experience the rich welcome of Jesus. So first, Jesus has come to welcome the lost. Second, in response, the lost welcome Jesus. The lost welcome Jesus. First, let's look at how Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus. Look at his response. We'll pick it up again at the end of verse 5. Zacchaeus says, Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. You see, when Jesus says he must stay at Zacchaeus' house, it literally means to lodge. He's not just calling in for a cup of tea or just for a little bit of a chat. No, he's saying, I want to stay at your house. I need somewhere to live for a while. It's the same idea when Mary and Joseph were looking for somewhere to lodge. They needed somewhere to rest, to stay. You see, Jesus has come to seek those who will welcome him, who will receive him. So not only does Zacchaeus welcome Jesus into his house, really what Zacchaeus is saying, Jesus, you are welcome into my life. He's obeying the call to follow Jesus. Jesus says, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm coming to your house. And at once, immediately, he comes down. He is now following the call and the priorities of Jesus. No longer is he saying, what do I want in my life? But he is now ready to say, what does Jesus want from me? So Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus. And look at the welcome he gives. It's something glad and joyful. Look at verse 6. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly. It's not a drudgery to welcome Jesus. It's a joy. No longer does he have to hide from Jesus. He can now welcome him gladly. The fear, the guilt, and the shame that he had as he was hiding in that tree is all gone. And in its place is acceptance, belonging, and salvation. You see, when we welcome Jesus, we are receiving him as our Savior. And as we receive him as Savior, so we are filled and satisfied. We experience forgiveness of all our wrongdoing. Zacchaeus may have lost his position of power, but he has now gained a new life and eternal treasures. It's joy for Zacchaeus, not judgment. It's celebration, not condemnation. So he welcomes him gladly. And look at what happens when he does welcome Jesus. Look at the transformation in his life. Verse 8. When Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, what a transformation. His whole life has been radically changed. All his life he's been cheating and swindling and gathering money. He's accumulated so much wealth. And right now, as Jesus welcomes him, he is ready to change his life. He will give half of his possessions to the poor. And he will pay back to everybody he's cheated up to four times the amount. No longer is Zacchaeus a lying, greedy, and cheating man. He is now joyful and generous, a welcoming person of others, wanting to put right what was wrong. You see, it's impossible to welcome Jesus into your life. It's impossible to receive him as Savior and not be changed. He has been transformed. And what Jesus has done for Zacchaeus, he does for each one of us. As we welcome Jesus into our life, he changes us from the inside out. You see, to welcome Jesus is to say to Jesus, you now have ownership over my life. It's no longer me ruling my life, but me living under your rule. It's saying to Jesus, I want you to change me. I want you to transform me. I want you to make me the kind of person you have called me to be. Do you see how this happens? Again, it's not as we expect, it's a surprise. Jesus doesn't come to Zacchaeus and say, Zacchaeus, I want you to sort all your life out first. I want you to give to the poor. I want you to make all your amends with people. I want you to stop doing everything that you're doing, and then I will come and stay with you. No, Jesus says, come down. I must stay at your house today. Jesus welcomes himself to Zacchaeus. And that is what begins the change in his life. You see, God never says to us, I want you to change first. He never says, I want you to tidy up your life first, and then I will come to you. No, he comes to us. He takes up residence in our life, and then he begins the change in us. You see, if we have welcomed Jesus, if we have received him into our life, this is something joyful because he changes us into the kind of people he made us to be. So Jesus welcomes the lost. The lost welcome Jesus. And then third, let's look at welcome to the feast. This account, this story of Zacchaeus is really surprising. We can understand Zacchaeus wanting to see who Jesus is and what he's all about. But Jesus wanting to stay with Zacchaeus? He's a notorious thief, a traitor. You could never trust him. Everybody hates him. He deserves condemnation, not salvation. But look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. That is, he is a true child of God. You see, when Jesus came, he was saying, I want to welcome you, Zacchaeus, because I've come to seek and save the lost. He sat down in his house to eat with Zacchaeus. He was giving us a picture of what he can do for people like us. Because that's what Christmas is truly about. It's Jesus coming into the world, coming into the mess of our broken lives to welcome people like you and me. Turn with me in your Bible. Let's go back to Isaiah. Seth read from the prophet Isaiah earlier. I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25. Isaiah was a prophet who lived about 800 years before Jesus actually came. But Isaiah the prophet was looking forward to the day when Jesus would come. He was looking forward to a great feast where people would be welcomed to sit with Jesus the King and enjoy a great banquet. Look at Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6. On this mountain, so when it's talking about this mountain, it's talking about the place where God dwells. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. What a feast this is going to be. Verse 7. And on this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. Well, what could that be? Verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Isn't that amazing? Can you picture this feast? A feast prepared for all kinds of people from all different nations, all gathering together. A feast where there will be no more sorrow because tears will be wiped away. And there will be no more sadness because death has been destroyed. And there will be no more fear or shame or guilt because the people's disgrace has been removed from them. This is what Isaiah is looking forward to, this grand feast. And with the coming of Jesus, this promise has been partially fulfilled, because Jesus is the one who enters into the world and invites himself to say, I have come to feast with you. Come and join with me. He welcomes people like Zacchaeus. He welcomes people like you and me, the lost and broken, the messy sinners. But maybe you're wondering and thinking, how could Jesus possibly accept me? Well, just outside Jerusalem, there was another mountain that was called the Skull, or the Mountain of Death. And Luke, the author that we've been looking at about Zacchaeus, records for us there that on this mountain, Jesus Christ died. You might know the story. You might remember that as Jesus was crucified to that cross, hung either side of him was a criminal. And he called out to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Here's a criminal, a sinner, an outsider. He is unwelcomed. And all he does is cry out to Jesus to say, remember me. In other words, have mercy on me. And Jesus welcomes him into his paradise to share in that eternal feast. You see, Jesus comes to welcome outsiders in. Jesus' death on the cross was no ordinary death. As he died on the cross, he was taking my sin and your sin on himself. He was suffering the judgment that you and I deserve. Jesus was excluded so that we could be included. Jesus was rejected as he died on the cross, so that you and I could be welcomed in and embraced by the Father. You see, Jesus' death was not just for that criminal, but for all of us who would cry out to Jesus. You see, this promise of a great feast is partially fulfilled by Jesus as he arrives on the scene welcoming people. But there is a greater feast to come, isn't there? We know that after that Jesus died, he rose from the grave. He destroyed the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. Jesus swallowed up death forever. And one day this risen Jesus is going to come again, and he will welcome all those who've accepted his invitation, and together we will share in the feast of the King. Have a look there in Isaiah 25. Do you see it there? A feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. And I'm sure there'll be something there for the vegetarians and vegans as well. And on this mountain, the shroud has been destroyed. Death has been removed. Disgrace has been taken away. You see, when Jesus sat down and invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, as he sat down to feast with him, he was giving us a picture of the ultimate feast in the kingdom of God to come. This Christmas, I hope somebody will invite you for Christmas dinner to enjoy that celebration. But I hope that all of us here will be able to experience not just the welcome of friends, but the invitation of Jesus, who says to us all today, come in, sit down, eat, enjoy. You are very welcome. Let's pray. Our Father God, we are amazed. We are surprised at how you have come to welcome people like us. That you would come and welcome messed up, broken people like us. People who fail and fall all the time. People who need forgiveness and need a new life. Thank you that you have come to do that for us. We thank you that at this season, with the coming of Christmas, we can celebrate the Jesus, the God-man, who comes to welcome people and accept people by forgiving us, by dying for us. Help us that we might welcome Jesus, and that we may offer the invitation of welcome to others. And we pray this for our good and for your glory. Amen.